It's Daniel chapter 3 and can be found on page 739 of the Church Bibles. So Daniel chapter 3, page 739. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its breadth 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then King Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And the herald proclaimed aloud, "You are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace." Therefore, as soon as all the people heard the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, all the peoples, nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They don't serve your gods or worship the golden image that you've set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you don't serve my gods or worship the golden image that I've set up? Now, if you are ready when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you don't worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar..."
Different from what you might usually expect from a sermon. I hope you enjoy it and are blessed by them, but if not, you know, feel free to just fire me. Can you imagine if they're living 2,600 years ago, how much we would be missing in terms of human rights and social justice? How different do you think their world was compared to ours? 30 seconds meditation in these questions. How much we would be missing in terms of human rights and social justice? How different do you think their world was compared to ours? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego lived nearly 2,000 years ago, 2,600 years ago. They were likely taken captives as teenagers, probably around 15 to 18 years old. From the time they were taken to Babylon until the time of Cyrus, they lived through the reign of several powerful kingdoms. Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Nabonidus, Darius, Cyrus. They live in a world filled with war, bloodshed, slavery, and brutal battles between nations in the name of idols and false gods. Powerful empire like Babylon did not only conquer lands, they conquered people, culture, and beliefs. When Babylon defeated the nation, they took people as captive and tried to reshape their identity, just as Tim helpfully explained to us 2 weeks ago. This image, can we have the image? Thank you, Joe. Not that one, another one. Yay, that's the one, thank you. This image is an Assyrian stone relief from around 700 BC, 2,700 years ago, almost 100 years ago before the story we are reading in Daniel chapter 3. And as you see, it shows King Sennacherib sitting on his throne after conquering the Judean city of Lachish. In the image captured from Lachish are being brought before the king, some for bowing down and worship the king and his gods, and some for being slain. Others are led away into exile and captivity. In those days, kings believed their gods were proven power through victory in battle. So when one nation conquered another, it was seen as their god defeating the other nation's god. That is why rulers forced conquered people to bow before their gods, to prove the superiority and authority of their idols among the other pagan nations. But here is a deeper irony of the world they lived in. The nations that were taking others captive were in reality captives themselves. They believed they were powerful and free, yet they were enslaved to what scripture calls the spirit of this world. They lived in a time when the very idea that people should not be discriminated against because of their beliefs had not yet even been imagined. Now let's dig into a scripture to see what the Bible's worldview is, all these behaviors and mindset. Joe, can we go to the next? Not that one. Yep, that one. Wait a second. One of my favorite series, movie series, is Indiana Jones. I love those scenes when Harrison Ford is in a temple searching for treasure, stepping carefully on the right stone because one wrong step could send him into sharp sparks, pulling the secret handle to open the hidden door, ducking arrows and traps as he makes his way to the treasure. We are going to do something similar with Bible today. Daniel chapter 3 is like an almost 2,600 years temple, and there are many treasure hidden in it. Together, we are going to look for hidden doors, step carefully along the right path, duck some arrows of wrong interpretation, and follow treasure maps that we find in other parts of the Bible. We are going to read several other verses as well. So if you need a Bible, please raise your hand. And Emma will pass to you your treasure map. Does anyone need a Bible? Brilliant, you all got Bibles. This is might not be the world one, but this is definitely the church one. We are living in a world where spiritual forces are still at work. Forces that seek to capture people not only physically, but spiritually. Scripture teaches that Satan and his fallen angels seek to draw people away from God, to replace God's rule with their own influence. Satan's desire has always been to place throne where only the Most High God belongs. These verses in Isaiah chapter 14, if you like to read with me, you can find it on page 578. You will find these verses. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 and 14, they're originally spoken about the king of Babylon, but it's also point to Satan, who had the king of Babylon in his captivity. These verses are like two mountains after each other, one a small and big one, and pointing to both at the same time. Now, have you ever seen those double images when you see it from distance? You see one thing, but when you look closely and stare at it and slowly take it back, you will see different thing, right? So these verses are similar to that. You will see a picture of King of Babylon, but at the same time, Satan. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14. How you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. How you are cut down to the ground. You who laid the nations low, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the high of clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. We are living in a world where there is a true God, but there are also false gods. The Lord and his angels are at work, and Satan and his fallen angels are also at work in this world. People in this world can be influenced either by Satan and his demons or by the spirit of the true God. These influences produce very different mindsets, values, and characteristics. To understand that all these oppressive behaviors and mindsets, all these abuses and discrimination, are not merely human problems, but are rooted in deeper spiritual darkness and ignorance, I would like us to look together at the Revelation chapter 13, beginning from verse 11. You will find it on page 1035. Revelation chapter 13 from verse 11. Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. So there is a beast, that look like a lamb, but speak like a dragon. Lamb, symbolically, pointed to Jesus, to true God, but dragon, symbolically, pointed to Satan. So it looks like a true God. You want to be like God, but it's not. It's Satan. It's demonic. It exercised all authority of the first beast in his presence. So there was already another beast. That's the thing. All those demonic belief systems, from idolatry in ancient time to modern false religions, they might change the shape and form, but that demonic spirit is still in the core. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose moral wound was healed. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people. And by the signs that is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on earth. So it's deceptive, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet live. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. Interesting. There is an image that if people do not worship it, will face hardship. Isn't exactly the thing that is happening in Daniel chapter 3? People are not worshiping the image that Nebuchadnezzar made, and they are facing hardship. Also, it causes all, both as small and great, both rich and poor, both free and a slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark. That is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. I'm pretty sure you all heard these numbers many times and all those conspiracy theory behind it. But today, we're going to go through a true meaning and interpretation of it. Do you remember what was the height of the beast that Nebuchadnezzar made? It was 60, wasn't it? Do you remember what was the breadth of the beast that he made? That was 6 as well, wasn't it? Obviously, these verses are strongly related to Daniel chapter 3. But what's going on there? What is all those numbers? What are all those signs on forehead and arms? In Genesis, in creation time, human was made in 6 days. So 6 symbolically represent human. And those 666 are different aspects of human being. Do you remember what was the biggest commandment in the Old Testament? Love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Different aspects of human being, which supposed to be used and loved fully, the true God. But Satan wants to put himself in the position of God. He wants us to love him with all our hearts and soul and might. So those who got the number of the beast are those, instead of loving God with all their hearts, souls, and might, are loving Satan. to understand that even better, and all the signs on her forehead and arms, let's read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7 and 9. You will find it on page 151. This is the time that the Lord took Israelites out of Egypt and gave them the laws and commandments, which in core of all of them is love your Lord and love your neighbor. Now he's telling them from verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. These laws and commandments, which are godly, God is commanding them, not just merely bandage them around the head, symbolically means mindset, an arm representing and indicating power and might. He's literally saying, let them be your mindset and use your power and might to live accordingly. But those who are in captivity of demonic spirit, they got demonic mindset and they use their power and might to live accordingly. And wherever they live, what happened? The people who got godly mindset will be persecuted. What's happened? If you do not have that demonic mindset and might among those nations, like if you live in Iran, wherever you apply for a job, they ask for what is your religion. And if you say Christian, you'll not even get the job, you will be persecuted. You might be killed. You can't deal. You can't trade. But even in Old Testament, there was no law commanding Israel to attack other nations or force them into bow before the Ark of the Covenant. Instead, the Lord thought that if foreigner came into the land and accept the Lord and his ways, they were to be treated like one of the Israelites. Being God's people was never meant to be built through force and oppression, but through acceptance and welcome. On the other hand, whenever dark spiritual forces influence people and people with the demonic mindset and power, they often become harsh oppressors of those with different beliefs. There are two times when we truly understand people, when they are under pressure, when they are in weak position, and when they are in power. In Daniel chapter 3, God's people were under oppression, while idol worshippers were in power. They forced God's people to bow before an image, but God's people stood firm. They chose faithfulness over survival. They said to Nebuchadnezzar, even if our God does not rescue us, we will not serve your gods or worship the image you have set up. It's very interesting. Where I was born and raised, many people who claim to be Muslim have shown attitude similar to Nebuchadnezzar. If someone openly says they're not Muslim, they may lose their job, face persecution, or even being killed of their faith. But what is interesting that according to what they teach, If you're Muslim and you are in danger because of your belief, you can just deny it. They call it taqiyya. You can just say, I'm not Muslim, and save your life. In the Bible, unlike Nebuchadnezzar, we see a powerful king who ended the oppression of Babylon. The Bible even calls him God's anointed, a type of Messiah, King Cyrus. This is a time that a godly man has absolute power. This is one of the first moments in history when we see a ruler using his power to allow freedom of belief and to stop forced worship. The idea of freedom of belief, so central to modern societies, did not come from a pagan religion or a secular thinking, but through the actions of a ruler whom God used for his purposes. It's very interesting. Steve, interestingly and remarkably, said and pointed out last week, when God revealed the dream of Nebuchadnezzar to Daniel, even those enchanters and the evil worshippers, those idol worshippers, were saved through that godly man. Even through the rule of King Cyrus and his decrees that no one should be discriminated because of their belief, even those idol worshippers were living in peace. Wherever there is a man of God in power, even those enchanters, idol worshippers who are in captivity of Satan, living better. But whenever someone in captivity of Satan gets in power, everyone is in trouble. There are many differences between those influenced by God and those influenced by darkness. And one of the clear differences the Bible shows us is how they treat people who do not share same beliefs or they don't have many similarities with other people. There are many moments that even in our life as a Christian, we might face a situation that our desire might not be the same as what is happening or what we see. And we have power and might, but it's really important to use our power and might according to godly mindset and will. Another thing I would like to point out, that the Daniel chapter 3, as I say, it's like a double images. It's also point out to the time when Jesus will return. As we can see in Daniel chapter 3, all those people who are trying to put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace, they were killed. But godly people did not even get the smell of fire and came out alive. When Jesus come with the fire of his spirit, all evil will burn. And those godly seed, those tree that God planted that bear godly fruits will remain. Those won't burn, but evil. And it's interesting because even through the rule of the evil, okay, those people who are under captivity and evil rulers, through their command, they suffer more than godly people. And there are many times maybe in our life that we might face hardship, less or more, and we might think like this is the end or this is the situation that I might not overcome. But Lord is with us, even through the fire. And he promised us that even if we die, he will raise us. So for Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, if even they die, even they were burned to dust, that wouldn't be the end of the story. Because Jesus Christ, our Lord, promised us that he will raise us even from the death. And he showed us how when he rose. So we trust in him, we believe in his promises, and we endure to be faithful to his godly mindset. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, glory to your name. Thank you, Father, for your mindset. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your lovely commandments. Thank you for your good people, Father, all people in history, that you changed their heart, and through them you changed this world. This is definitely a better place because of you and what you've done, Father, in the past. We pray and we thank you, Father, that we live in a country that the concept of no one should be discriminated because of their belief is deeply and richly understood. But we also pray for all those nations and countries who people are still persecuted and face discrimination because of their belief. We pray for our brothers and sisters all around the world, from North Korea to China, wherever they are and wherever they are persecuted, you might gain them the courage and power that you gain, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to stand firm for what is godly. And we pray for all those who are in captivity, like Nebuchadnezzar and his people, to be free, Father. We ask for blessing, for freedom, for liberty, and we pray in powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to hand it to Joanna now, and she's going to lead us in more prayer.
Do you have